And so when I first came to LA, I crashed on Adam Ray's couch for like the first 5 days while I was trying to find an apartment. And I went to this little coffee shop called Stir Crazy. And there's these two hot chicks that were working. And I walk in and I go, man, what a beautiful day. It's like so beautiful. And they were like, oh yeah, are you not from here? I was like, no, I just moved here from Seattle. Just drove in. And they're like, oh, well, welcome to LA. The next morning I go to the same place. I go, what a beautiful day. And they go, yeah, it's good. You know, it's good. And by the fifth day of this, I remember her name's Katie. She goes, you don't have to keep doing this. It's going to be sunny every day. It's Los Angeles. I was like annoying them a little bit.
Yeah.
But I couldn't understand it. And I feel like that even now. Like I wake up and I'm just like, man.
Nah, yeah.
Sunshine.
One. All right.
All right. We got Jeff Dye in the podcast. So welcome, Jeff Dye, to Standby Podcast. Thank you for coming.
Thanks for having me, guys.
I'm really excited, man.
I love what you've done with the place.
Yes. It's nice, right?
We've classed it up for you.
Nice. Have you told the location of the podcast?
Yeah, everybody's
everyone
aware
knows? Okay.
That it's here at the
world famous comedy.
The America famous comedy store.
That's right.
I don't like saying world. I've been over 50 countries. It's, they've never heard of it.
Also,
I know. So there's comedy stores.
I go to Korea. I go, you know,
London.
I work at the comedy store. They go, huh, what?
Also, I gotta say, since I've moved to L.A., everything calls itself world famous. World famous Tommy's Hamburgers.
Yeah, come on, Tommy.
Come on.
What are we doing? What are we doing? World famous comedy
good
store.
South of the Mississippi.
Yeah. Where do you play in L.A.? The comedy store. I don't know.
World famous?
Oh, I thought it was world famous. And they don't even know it here in Virginia.
Precisely.
It's tricky.
Well, buddy, I've been dying to have you on the podcast. We're really excited. And we got quite lucky as well because you're just freshly back into town,
right? And I leave tomorrow, yeah.
Oh, really?
I was gone for 35 days in Detroit shooting a movie, and I leave tomorrow for Hawaii.
Hawaii. To just relax or
comedy.
To work?
Okay, but also relax.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody goes to Hawaii for the comedy.
Of course, yeah.
I'll probably spend more on my hotel and flight than I'll make.
Yeah.
World famous Hawaii.
World famous Hawaii.
Heard of that one.
Have you been there before? Or
I've never been to this island. I'm going to Maui with Willie Simon. You guys know Willie?
Oh, Willie Simon. That sounds familiar.
He's from there. And so like he was like, oh, we'll set it up. We'll have a good time. But I was like, let's just stay the whole week. And that's what's costing me so much money.
Oh, okay.
That I'm staying the whole time. I'm only doing shows on Friday.
Oh, okay.
All right. And then the rest of the time's mushrooms and beachy.
Nice.
Well, that's the place to do it, actually. Hollywood.
It's going to be beautiful.
Hawaii's the place to. Yeah,
and I'm with the locals, so they won't beat me up or anything.
This is going to be awesome.
That's why.
They beat you up if you go?
Yeah, you don't know about this?
No.
That's a famous thing in Hawaii.
Really?
Yeah, white guys get targeted hard over there.
In Hawaii?
Really?
Yeah, it's almost happened to me a bunch on other islands.
Really? What happens?
They resent, American people that come over there to be tourists and stuff. All the tourists go to all their beautiful, like, waterfalls and like clog up all the things that they like, and they also see it historically as like we're not America. Mm-hmm. So that's
got it.
And it happens a lot. I mean, like really? Some white guys will go over there, they'll marry like a Hawaiian.
Yeah,
that's it.
Oh, that's
like they get.
Oh right.
Yeah, it's a terrible life for them.
I had no idea.
You didn't know that?
No.
You've been to Hawaii, right?
No, I haven't been.
Okay.
I mean, when I was in Hawaii, I met a lot of retired American military.
Yeah, well, there's areas. Like, if you're in the Waikiki and stuff, there's tourist areas. But, like, if you're, like, at the north shore of, like, Oahu, like, you'll just see signs, like, no Hallies.
Like, locals only?
Yep, locals only. Really? See a lot of stuff. I dodged a few fights by just talking my way out of it.
So is this like Point Break? Like, are you just getting like...
I wish it was like Point Break.
Like Point Break.
Like, I don't know. I feel like you're in the beach and they're just like... You're just surfing like Keanu and like...
Yeah, well, I mean, no, it was not like Point Break at all. It was more aggressive.
But how'd you get in... No, but how'd you get in... Because he gets into fights. Like, how'd you get into...
Yeah, so for me...
Tall guy as well. You do often get targeted when you're the tall.
Yeah, well,
tall
I just don't. Guys. I think this might sound a little too political, but like you get targeted anytime you're not the majority. You know, so it's if I went to Inglewood and just went into like a place and I'm the only white guy, they're gonna just try to figure out what I'm doing there.
Yeah.
Right.
What is he doing?
Unless,
like, they're not mad. Yeah. They don't want to hurt me, but they're going, why? Yeah. One white guy walking in? Like,
trying to blend in.
What the fuck's he doing here? You know, we come here, and the same thing is like, one black guy in an old, rich, pompous white neighborhood. They're going to go, what the fuck is this? This is different. So I think that same thing happened. Is like, my girlfriend at the time wanted to go on all these hikes. She wanted to see all these, like, beautiful things, and they weren't for the public, and they weren't for tourists. So we went bopping around where we didn't belong.
Got it.
And then they're like, oh, we'll just beat them up. Wow. Yeah. That was their answer. Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
So now you're doing it the right way.
Yeah.
You got
now I got a local.
So you can get some, yeah.
It's going to be awesome, yeah.
That is always the way to do any.
Smart.
Any
to do another movie reference, it's like the beach. Leonardo DiCaprio. Yeah. Like, you go into it, and then now you're fucking...
Weren't those, like, savages?
Yeah, I mean, they were narcos. They were, like... selling...
I don't remember the beach that was. Leonardo DiCaprio, right?
Yeah. Like, they go into...
Isn't there a shark attack or something?
No, but, like, they go in, and then, like, there's, like, a little, like, community, and they're, like, the narco people, they're, like, look, you can keep there, but it's got to be just an amount of people. And then they keep... Other people came coming in and they start killing them.
Oh my God. I got to watch that movie, guys. I remember liking it, but
yeah,
just
cool.
Now revealed how little I remember of it.
I like it until it becomes the fucking, when he goes into this video game thing, that's when it fucked up.
I don't remember
you
that.
You remember this way better than
I like
me
the movie.
As well,
I like Leo. I'm a big fan of Leo DiCaprio.
You should have a movie podcast with Francisco.
Yeah, Francisco.
We're not very poor in it. He's referenced too.
Yeah. Oh, wait.
And then the highlight of the conversation, if I'm honest.
Some more as well.
More. Don't worry about it.
What do? You just watch a lot of movies all the time?
I do watch a lot of movies. I like
it. It's how you learned America?
Yeah, it's true. Or how I learned stuff. True, yeah. Or how I learn about anything. Like, sometimes I ask people, like, is this true? Like I was asking this.
Every reference comes to a movie. Not like that. Everywhere
is that
goes.
True? Can you jump out of an airplane and then catch each other? And then would that work?
Well, the Denzel Washington, what's that movie where he's a pilot?
Flight. Oh, yeah.
Flight. So, like, I was talking to a...
That's how you learned to fly.
No, so I was talking to a natural airline pilot. He's like, hey, is any of that true? He's like, the only thing that's true is the beginning of the movie. And I was like, what? Oh, when he's
that
like...
pilots
when
have
drunk,
sexy
when
women
he's drunk
in their
and
hotel.
Fucking, and sleep fucking with a flight attendant. He's like, really? That's the only true thing.
But what, that guy, that happened to that guy, or they do that?
No, they do that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And he was like, I was like, oh, okay.
I said something on a podcast about that movie once. You want to fill the people in about the story of that movie? He just gets drunk and then...
Yeah, I think, they can Google it.
All right. So anyways. So that movie, like, I said on a podcast, like, I don't care. If he can do his job drunk, I don't care.
Right.
Like, it doesn't bother me at all. And everyone disagreed with me. Like, fuck you. That's not, that's wrong. He shouldn't be having.
Responsible.
I was like, he wasn't drunk. He just had some little bottles of alcohol.
Yeah.
And then he successfully landed the plane in a terrible situation.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was better than average. Not because of the alcohol, but.
But was, okay,
no
so
one
I don't
died.
Remember enough about this, but was the plane in trouble because of negligence?
No. Something happened, and then he
like... held to agree then as well. Like,
yeah, there was nothing he could have done, and then he saved everyone.
Yeah.
And then he landed upside down?
Yeah, it was something. It was kind of like that one that guy that landed, the Sully guy. Yeah.
Like, if Sully was drunk, do you care now? Or
well, that's the flight. The airline sued Denzel, saying that he shouldn't even have been operating the plane. Not Denzel. But a guy. And then they're like, well, she was drunk. He's like, dude, you should be kissing his ass. You should be giving him medals.
Yeah.
Right. He saved everyone's life.
But then he was doing coke, and then he's like, I'm high right now.
So what?
He fucked up because he's like... Like, they were doing the court thing, and they're like, oh, I'm actually high right now.
Oh, yeah. So. Well, so what?
He's not flying a plane.
He's like, I can land an airplane upside down drunk. I could definitely do court high.
Yeah, man.
What was the other thing I was thinking about that was the, what did you just say? It doesn't matter.
Listen, this movie that you've been filming, have you had to sign an NDA or anything? Can we get some juicy details?
Yeah, we can talk about it.
35 days in classy Detroit?
I auditioned for that role,
Which role?
Or the one, I think Dustin got
it. Oh, Freddie.
Yeah, because
Freddie Garza.
Mike Young is the one that directed. It's a movie that he directed and wrote. And then he called me. He's like, hey, can you audition for this? And then I did it. And then he's like, that was great, but you're too good looking. And I was like... Okay.
Wow.
For the part.
Don't you hate it when they give you those notes?
And I'm like, don't
kill them with kindness.
And I'm going like, didn't you just look at me before? Like,
you know what I look like.
I could get ugly.
It's a movie, you know. They don't have makeup or anything. They're completely.
And I'm not saying Dustin is ugly.
You're so good looking, Francisco.
Kind of are, I guess, in a way, he's uglier than you.
No, Mike Young is saying that.
Yeah, the movie. It's very, very funny. I think stand up comics will like it. Maybe even though stand up comics are very critical of these things, but the idea. Is basically these comics that are all broke and they haven't got to that next level yet. They in desperation in a series of weird events end up shooting a comedy club owner and robbing him and then trying to cover it up and then trying to get themselves out of the situation. It just gets messier and messier. So it's a stand-up comics heist movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Michael Rapaport's in it.
Yeah.
Dustin Ibera, Ryu Go is an actress from New York. Who else? Oh, Ha Ha Davis, a very funny comic. Mm-hmm. big YouTube guy, like Instagram guy, social media guy, but he's also a very funny stand-up comic. And then who else? That's it. I mean, that's,
and you.
That's the majority. And I'm in it, yeah.
This is awesome, man. I know you've done some acting before, but yeah. Would you say that this is your, like, biggest stepping out, like, biggest feat?
Yeah,
that you've been
I've learned,
of?
I don't
yeah,
think.
Because you're the lead,
yeah,
right?
Being the lead's not very fun.
No?
It's more fun to be the funny guy. Freddie always got to be funny. You know, and then like Luke Knoll from SNL, he had this character named Donnie Hefner. He said he played like a bad guy. He was funny. Every word he said was funny.
Right.
So we would do scenes where I just start riffing with him, right? And we're making everyone laugh, and they go cut, and then everyone like starts laughing, and they go, "Let's do it again." But Jeff, you gotta. And I'm like, why?
You have more responsibility.
You're the straight guy.
It's all on you, man.
So some scenes I have to be jealous, and some scenes I have to be mad, and some scenes I have to be like in love. And like when you just get to be the funny guy, you always get to be funny. It's way better.
You have to have an arc.
Yeah.
You have to have layers.
You know, it sucks.
That's what happens when you become the big time.
I will say this too. I've been saying this, like this is kind of how I've thought about the movie since. Is like, I was such a head case on the movie. Like half the time we'd be acting, I'd be like, I think I'm the best actor that's ever lived. Like I memorized these lines like by just looking at it once, like I like that kind of like memory.
Wow, yeah.
And so, and then I would shoot it, I'd be like, dude, that was. And they're like, we're moving on. Good job. And
wow, then the feed your ego at all. Man.
Well, no, but then the other half of the time, I'm like, I'm the worst. Acting's hard. And I would be like a head case. We'd have to do like 50 takes. Like it was like so, like little things where I'd mess up the same word like 30 times in a row. Like it was like being a major league baseball pitcher. Like I was just either on or just totally
a bad
game.
Yeah,
it's hard.
Yeah. Speaking of the pitching, you got to throw out the first pitch.
Next Saturday I'm throwing out the first pitch for the San Diego Padres.
Nice.
You got quite a collection of these first pitches going.
I know. We should put it on the board there.
We're gonna be. I think.
Yeah. How many?
This might be the first time we'll do this.
So this is actually a cool thing because like you obviously love to travel also because of you know as a stand up, but like you do. A lot of things, I mean, because I know that, you know, just following you on social media, you like, you do a lot when you're on the road.
Yes.
Like, you're not like a guy that's like, I'm just going to chill in my hotel. I'm just going to, because we ask people sometimes, what do they do when they're on the road, kind of stuff like that. But
What is the percentage you get of people who say that they just like kind of stick to their hotel room?
Like half.
About a half, yeah. A
lot of like just... some half, they're like, we're just going to, don't do that much.
We get a few foodies. We've got a, and then a
people
few
that
people
go sports
like,
stuff,
sports events,
or like museums, or like or eat. Like, let me find out what's a good food here, for like the town or the local town. Or...
I'll say the tough thing for sports, if you're going to be the guy that does sports, I know Bill Burr. He's successful enough that he can carve that out. Rich enough that he can carve it out. But it's like the odds of being in a town when the team is playing. And the time of year is playing, and that you're not performing at the exact same time.
Yes, exactly.
It's really tough.
Very.
And like, I don't want to stay on Sunday in a town I don't live in just to catch their afternoon game.
I saw the Milwaukee Bucks play for one quarter.
Because you're like, I got to go.
One quarter, and I was like, I just took in stadium. I was like, okay,
I get it.
I'm out of here. That's all I get.
That is a good thing about throwing first pitches. So I've thrown this will be my ninth first major league pitch.
Wow.
And then I've thrown a ton of like minor league first pitches.
Nice.
My goal is to throw out a first pitch at every pro major league baseball.
Yeah.
But then I'm gonna do the minor league ones. I'm gonna try to get off.
This is such a specific goal.
Yeah.
When some people are like, I'd like to visit stadiums.
No way.
And you're like, no, I need to throw out the first pitch.
Well, that's how it started. So I said I want to go to every major league park, which every guy I know, at least I can't speak for every baseball fan, but every guy I know that likes baseball has been like, I want to go to all the parks. And so I was like, okay.
Yeah, that's a cool thing.
It's normal.
Yeah.
And so I did it in one season.
Wow.
Like I was able to just do it in one season. I was like, I need a higher goal. And so I was like, well, the first pitch, I did that once in Seattle. Let me try to do that. And now I'm chipping away at this pretty good.
Nice.
So that's kind of how it started.
Are you warming up like when you go throw the pitch or something? Or are you just going cold? Like what do you do?
It goes park to park because you do whatever they let you do, you know?
Yeah.
So like Arizona, I played catch with my buddy Drew McFarlane on the field for probably like an hour and a half before the game. They let us like swing bats and
nice.
Like, talk to players. The coach was like a fan of Better Late Than Never, so he came out and talked to me. And so when I threw the pitch, I was all warmed up. Kansas City Royals and what was the place I just threw? Oh, in Detroit. Dude, they just hand you a ball, and then like some public relations person chats you up for like a 5 minutes, and then they go, "All right, go ahead." And you're like, "Oh,
he cooled you." They sent out the cooler.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah, it was very stressful. That part of it was
so
very stressful.
So you're throwing better, pitchers in the when you're warming up, right?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Well, and also I don't try to throw it in there very hard.
Okay, you're kind of like floating it in, right?
Yeah. Like I still
not like enough ball.
Yeah. Float it in.
A little, no, because I mean, because you don't want to go and then do like one of those, like the ones that do like really
bad.
Like,
exactly.
Yeah, like a Bull Durham, take out the mascot.
No, who's the guy, the fighter, McGregor.
50 Cent was the all-time worst, yeah.
Or McGregor, too, was really bad.
I have a joke about the 50 Cent one where I was like, because I start talking about him on stage sometimes, like when I was in Cleveland, the former Indians, now the Guardians. I was talking about, I'm throwing out the first pitch tomorrow, and people were like, "Are you nervous?" And I was like, "No, dude. Like, throwing a baseball for me is something it's easy to do right now at this age." And I was like, "But 50 Cent, I don't know if you guys saw 50 Cent's first pitch. Man, really proved that he didn't have a father growing up."
That's
terrible
funny. Now I'm the Blake Cat.
Have you got a curveball then?
Yeah, I did a curveball in Cleveland.
Right.
And it was funny. It was actually great because I threw it. I was just like 12 and 6, just perfect. And the guy that caught it's like a pitcher for the, like some, like bullpen pitcher.
Yeah.
Kind of like a starter. And he came up and he goes, "Did you throw a curveball?" And I was like, "Yeah, yeah." And he was like, "Oh, no one's ever done that." So that, and my friends, like, I went up and saw them, Randy, Valerio, and all the guys. And they're like, "Dude, you threw like a perfect curveball." And I was like, "I know." And he goes, and there's friends who don't know me very well. We're like, "You could probably like play Major League Baseball because I look like it." And I was like, "No. No. I threw it like 55 miles an hour. They would hit the shit out of that curveball. Yeah. Like it just moved. That's all you saw." But the good thing about first pitches is you can get drunk. Like you could, like you're done with all your responsibilities.
That's true. Right? After you throw
before the game even starts. So you and your buddies go, "All right, let's go get drinks." And they all saw you do it and you walk around, and sometimes we'll leave in like the third inning. But
that's
it's just fun.
Oh, that's right. You've had your victory.
Yeah, it's over.
Early on, it's like you've already stormed the gig. Even the players haven't been impressive yet.
Right. Yeah, well,
you're already rocking it.
I always make the same joke when I'm there. I got to give credit to Chad Denick, but I always make the same joke when I throw the first pitch. I always go, I try to do it as serious as possible. I go, "Hey, I know that the first pitch like really isn't that important to the game. You know, I'm well aware, but like, is there any way I could pitch the last pitch of the game?" Like, I think that would be more important. Do you guys have life gags, like jokes that you've done over and over in life?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think that regular people know about that.
Yeah.
I have jokes that if you were my friend or my girlfriend, you would have heard me die 500 times, and it's just not funny anymore. Like, you know,
I've got a couple customer service ones in real life.
No, not on stage. I'm saying like life gags.
Oh yeah, and I don't know if I do
some
that.
Customer service ones I like to do. I always if somebody's within earshot and I get the final, like, "Is there anything else I can help you with?" I always like to go, "Well, I'm looking for a girlfriend."
Yeah, stuff like that.
And I always crushes.
You don't have
crushes.
I guess like with waiters and stuff, I think, but like it's not like the same one. I try to be funny, but like always my fiance. She's like they never get it. You know what? Like sometimes, as a comics, we think people are always gonna know that we're comics, or that they're gonna get the joke.
Yeah.
And sometimes I do a lot of shit when I'm like, I'm trying to be funny, and they're like, they don't give me.
I do it all day.
And I'm
so much all day with any human I ever see or meet that I have like built-in life gags. Like if I'm at Ralph's or something, and like I pull up my membership card, I love like looking to whoever's in line or whoever's going to be like, "I'm a member here." Like it's very important. Or like anytime I'm saying goodbye to like an Uber driver or something, I'll be like, "See you tomorrow." Like any kind of thing. Like just little stupid shit that makes me laugh. Yep. On the airplane, this is my ex-girlfriend and me. We used to love doing this. On the airplane, when they're going around going, "Peanuts, peanuts," I'll go, "Penis." And you'll see people go, they're not sure, like, if I said it or not. Like, these little everyday things that make me laugh
and
so
And what
hard.
Do you think your hit ratio is?
50%? I think 100%, dude.
But so people are like getting it. People are getting it.
Either they're not getting it or they love it.
All right, got it.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Good. Like, it's because they're going, "Oh, what was that dumb smiley guy trying to do?" You know, it's trying to make him happy.
Like, and then, so you grew up, you were born in Seattle, right?
Seattle, Washington, yes, sir.
Right? That's where you grew up?
Seattle, born.
You know, always, and then you start comedy there?
We were woke first.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, and then everybody really lapped us, and now the kind of Seattle I grew up in was very conservative, it turns out. We just liked gay people, and we're like, we must be liberal.
Yeah.
We treat gay people equal, and we thought that was liberal. We didn't know there'd be this whole regime of other stuff that
the grunge.
Grunge.
A lot of people
Oh, really? Well, Washington's a pretty red state. Nobody knows that. Yeah.
Surprisingly, if you were in Seattle, you wouldn't think so.
But yeah, it is a red state, but just not in Seattle. So Washington is a lot like Texas. Very red, and then you have the city that's very blue. Mm, and that's normal.
Yeah.
Because if you grew up in that state, you go, where can I move where it's not a bunch of psychopaths?
Right.
And then people that think alike move to that.
Yeah.
Now, you did start comedy there.
Yep.
You once told me a story that I could never get out of my mind because you're the only comic to have told me this, which is when you did your first gig,
oh, yeah.
You actually packed it out
yep.
with friends and family.
Totally bad move.
Opposite of what I, because no comic, when I hear comics take their first steps, they're
foolish.
Like, I want to do it in front of strangers.
So this is the first
and you're
time
like,
you
no, done... not me.
Yeah, my like, first open mic.
That's your first open mic.
Never,
so
I've never been on stage.
Oh, so it wasn't even a show. It was an open mic.
It was an open mic.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So it worked for me and it worked against me. Worked right. more against me than for me. But actually, that's not true. It's tough to say. But I'll explain how it worked.
Yeah.
One, I've my entire life, with the exception of the last 7 years, have been a liar. I've been a liar almost my entire life. And so I exaggerate things and I make up tales. I've learned that's a terrible way to live. But I was like that when I was young, for sure. And so I was like, I'm going to be a stand-up comic. I'm going to do this. I'll take 3 months to myself every morning writing jokes so that when I go to the first comedy thing, I'll have 3 months of prepared material. Mm-hmm. Don't do that.
Yeah,
that's a terrible. I like downloaded an iPod of just a bunch of like any stand-up I could get my hands on. You
oh,
know?
Wow.
Like anything. Anything I could find, old stuff, new stuff, Comedy Central, anything. So I would listen to it, and then I'd sit and go, oh, that's pretty good. And then I would just try to come up with my own stuff.
Yeah.
I tried to just go to, like, the three-month school of comedy based on my own terms.
Yeah.
So then I told, in those 3 months, everyone, yeah, I'm getting into comedy. I'm, like, I'm already, like, a regular at Giggles.
Right, okay.
Lie. I said, and the owner thinks I'm really special. He thinks I've got something, you know, yeah. some real potential, you know? And then also like, yeah, I've been going up every night. Three straight lies. So I tell everyone from my church at the time, because I was like a youth group leader, and I told everyone that I could, that it would even listen to me from any ex job I had, any current yeah. job. I was like, yeah, come see me. So the first night I was there, I don't know how many people, but over 100 people.
Wow.
And packed it out. And the owner's gone.
Yeah,
who's this guy?
He can do as much time as
it's
he wants.
It's 4:30 in the afternoon.
Yeah,
what's going on?
And they all bought drinks, and they're all like really polite because you know yeah. I come from like a real polite, my circles were very nice people.
Mm-hmm.
And he had to call comics from the other comedy clubs. He's like, "Hey, come down here. There's a whole crowd on a Thursday
wow.
night. Like, you want to do some time? Like,
yeah.
this is the crowd to go." And so all my friends are just waiting. Through all this terrible open mic comedy to be like, when's our guy going up?
You
yeah.
know, and how long were
the
you
guy
doing?
That's good, you know?
Yeah. Our guy with all his experience.
Yeah.
And,
how long did you have to do?
I could do as much as I want, but he said okay. I could do 10 minutes. And okay. so I was like, that's plenty. And that's a lot if you've never been on stage.
Yeah.
So I go up there, and I can only describe my act as a terrible punchline-less Dane Cook, right? I had all the mannerisms of Dane Cook,
yeah.
and he was like my favorite comic because yeah. you know I'd only been,
right.
you know, yeah, it was 2005.
You're like a cheerleader.
Yeah, I was like 2005, and like I thought he was so cool and funny, and so like I dressed like him, and I was
yeah.
even doing all the bullshit. But the more nervous I got, the more I would curse. I just say fuck more every time. I was mm-hmm. you know nervous. There was a lot of fucks, no punchlines. Everyone knows who I'm doing, you know,
yeah,
like with the
right.
things, and also like they're church people, so they came. They go, he doesn't want to work at the church to do this. He wants
he
to humiliate himself.
Different.
Yeah, he wants to humiliate himself and parade around
yeah.
saying the F word a bunch. It was so bad. And also the guy who introduced me, Maddie Lowell, I can't remember his last name, Maddie Lowell, I think. He introduced me to the stage. He's like, this next guy, it's his first time doing comedy, so go easy on him. And I'm like, I was like,
yeah.
The jig is up.
But then that shows you, because also I think that's the thing with comedy. Like when you know that's your passion and you're like, because you did, like, you know, for you, and I think for me too, you know, like shows that the first time you do it, you're like, what the fuck am I doing? But
yeah.
but we still want to keep doing it.
Exactly.
Which is a little insane.
Well, I know, but,
you know what I mean?
But you're 100% right. Even when I was bombing and I was terrible at comedy for years,
yeah.
I loved being
I
up
loved,
there.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
And I didn't care that I was bombing. Oh, I cared.
Of course, you
know,
you
psychologically.
Get better.
But I also, it was nice to
just
be like
hungry
listened
well.
To, you know?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, they're going to listen to me?
But also, I feel like then you had that little thing of like, I know.
I can figure this out.
Yes, yeah. right? Because I that's the first time I had that. I never had that with sports. I'm a huge sports guy, but I never had that thing where like, oh, yeah, I know if I can play more baseball, I can get better. Nah, it was never like,
that is
true. That's, but this was the fact that I'm like, I know I can do this and get better and be better than people than yeah. the norm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I definitely felt the hunger for it, but having strangers in that audience was
way
very
better
for my first steps. I was like, when I heard you tell me that, I was like, I don't know if I could have done that.
Psychologically, it was devastating.
Because even when I started and it was going well, I then, and I started in Scotland, but then I had friends from Canada calling on you, this can't be true. This is clearly not true. I'm like, you haven't seen me do it yet, but we know you.
Yeah, that's
we know
impossible.
That this is bullshit. Did you make up these articles?
That's so funny.
So I was like, thank fuck I didn't do it in front of you guys the first time. Yeah. No matter what. I still remember one friend going, I'm the one who does all the Mike Myers line in our group of friends. You're not the one. I'm the one who can quote
movies.
Yeah, you're not the... I'm just like, that's exactly why I could never do this.
Which, to this day, if you want to see me be disrespectful to someone, like if you brought a friend into our... I'm like, I think that's my actual gift in life, is that I'm great at making everyone feel part of the... I'm very good at bringing people in. I'm never going to shit on someone's story. Or if you tell a bad story at a dinner that we're at, I'm not going to go, good story, JJ. Like, I would never... I'm gonna share something, whatever.
Yeah. I would say good story.
See, I think it's rude. I'm not that guy.
But I want them to also keep in the group.
Yeah, you're saying it for that? That's how you keep him in the group?
He hugs you with a slap.
Yeah.
You're like the Lord. Yeah. You give and take away. No, but I'm trying to think why I brought that up. So you're saying that...
But I think you mentioned that you were a youth leader.
Yeah,
so I think that's
strength,
probably...
Maybe you're going with the strength that you get.
But also that's
that
why
you
probably
you
were, you're like doing that. Because of that?
I can't remember why I was telling you that, but it was related to what you had just said. I got a lot of brain fog today.
What about just my friends back in Canada telling me, oh, yeah, you can't, this can't be you. This can't be the truth. And
so how long did you do stand-up in Seattle until you... And your first move was to L.A.?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I was doing comedy in Seattle, and I was bad for a long time, and then I figured it out by just, he put me on stage every night.
Wow.
And that's the part that I think that was valuable, is that the owner goes, I can make money, I don't care who bombs and who kills in there.
Right.
This guy's bringing a bunch of friends, and I kept doing it
was
all the open
no
mics.
Was there no diminishing returns to this? You had that much loyalty out of your group of friends that they still kept...
Well, I just basically came clean, and it was vulnerable. I was like, all right, this is my first time, and I'm suck, and I just wanted all of you guys to be impressed, and I wanted you, and so they were all like, oh, okay, we understand. That makes more sense. Mm-hmm. And so then, 30 would come the next Thursday, and then like 10 would come the next Thursday, and then there'd be like 100 again. And I would do this every Thursday and Sunday. So the owner's like, Jeff Dye can do anything he wants.
Of course.
Yeah. And so that
was great. So that make you quicker, better, faster because you perform in front of people.
More hours. Yeah,
yeah
exactly.
Yeah.
I got
especially
way more.
Not in front of comics, but just actual people.
That's what I hate when people go, how long have you been doing comedy? They go, they measure it in years.
Yeah.
It's so dumb. Because I know comics that go on stage like once a month and they go, I've been doing it for 5 years.
Yeah
but once a month.
Yeah, that does not. To me, that's not comedy. You know, you got to do it every day, you know. And then, so how long did you do it until you moved to LA?
3 years. I got on Last Comic Standing when I was like on my third year in comedy.
Oh wow! Okay, cool.
Okay.
And
was your ticket out of.
Oh yeah.
That's the decision.
And Barry Katz was like, "If you move to LA, I can get you a ton of stuff."
Wow.
So the next day,
did you
drove
audition
down.
In Seattle or how was it?
They did a weird thing where it was the only year where Bill Bellamy, was going around city to city saying like popping into comedy clubs and watching the whole show and then going, someone here tonight didn't know that they were auditioning for Last Comic Standing, but this was their audition. And I'm like, it was like home field advantage. Like I just went and did like a 10-minute set, crushed in Seattle. I was kind of like big fish, small bull.
Yeah.
And so Bill Bellamy was like, this is the guy. The problem was no other comedy clubs that he picked the comic from made it out of the semifinals.
Oh.
So when it came to like the edit, they just cut all that out. And so they had to fake an audition to put on the show to justify how I just showed up all of a sudden in the semifinals.
So you got to do some acting as well.
No, they clipped it. They took my first joke, like I wore the same clothes or something from the heats. They took my first joke, which my first joke was about like peeing on the vegetables at Costco.
Okay.
It makes sense in the grand scheme of the bit, but that was like the opening line. And they just showed me doing that. Like, sometimes I piss on the vegetables at Costco. And then it goes to like French Stewart.
We need to get this guy a job.
Yeah. It was like two of the judges, what they said to some other thing, they edited it to make it look at them and goes, he's good. It's like, like, what?
God.
They made it look like I was like crushing with the judges with that joke.
Wow.
Yeah, it was fun.
That's
weird thing.
Cool.
Yeah, and then I've been in LA since.
Wow. So you just, that's, so so that was your first big move to just, and then you, was it LA because of the last comic standing, or do you always wanted to move to LA?
No, I never thought I'd live in LA.
No.
No, I like Seattle, okay. But I love it now. Now I'll never leave.
Yeah, yeah, it's great.
It's the best. When you grow up in Seattle, you don't know about how it can be sunny every day. You don't even think about that. Like, you know, when it's sunny, you talk about it.
Yeah.
You leave, you go to school, you go, oh, shit, it's sunny. Like, I'm wearing shorts. It's like 60 degrees, but like the sun's out and you're wearing shorts.
Yeah.
And so when I first came to LA, I crashed on Adam Ray's couch for like the first 5 days while I was trying to find an apartment. And I went to this little coffee shop called Stir Crazy. And there's these two hot chicks that were working. And I walk in and I go, man, what a beautiful day. It's like so beautiful. And they were like, oh, yeah. Are you not from here? I was like, no, I just moved here from Seattle. Just drove in. And they're like, oh, well, welcome to LA. The next morning, I go to the same place. I go, what a beautiful day. And they go, yeah, it's good. You know, it's good. And by the fifth day of this, I remember her name's Katie. She goes, you don't have to keep doing this. It's going to be sunny every day. It's Los Angeles. I was like annoying them a little bit.
Yeah.
But I couldn't understand it. And I feel like that even now. Like I wake up and I'm just like, man.
No,
sunshine.
Yeah, that's one of the things I love LA too. It's just the weather. It just because to me, it makes you to it forces you to do stuff.
Yeah,
I think when the weather is like ugly and you know and gray, it's depressing.
You stay inside.
Like, you stay inside. You
all my friends moved to LA lose at least like 5 to 10 pounds, and then they're also tanner, so that looks a little bit better. And they're getting vitamin D. Like it's just like at least that first few months they're here, like they look better. They're happier.
You did just give me a flashback though, when because I'm a military kid, so I grew up in Victoria, BC, similar weather to Seattle. But when we moved to Nova Scotia, when my father got posted to Nova Scotia, I remember I was in my grade 4 classroom, and it started to snow, and I do remember. It was starting to snow, and I went, look, it's snowing. And, and all these Nova Scotians, like, who's the new kid?
Yeah, wait, what?
Who's the idiot? It's gonna snow a lot here, kid.
I'm trying to think what that would be like equivalent to, like, we have pencils. And they're dude. So normal.
This reject.
Yeah, because snow is kind of like a childlike wonderment, you know?
Yeah,
but not to Nova Scotians.
Like, especially,
no. To them, it's like, ugh.
A year, right?
Yeah, that's really funny. Isn't there some stereotype about Nova Scotians that all the Canadians have?
Well, the thing about Canadian stereotypes is, everybody bullies each other to the east.
Sure.
So British Columbia makes fun of the rest of Canada, and it goes straight down. So everybody, so Nova Scotia is pretty far east.
There you go.
In Canada.
So you're the last, so you don't bully anybody.
Just Irish. Well, we have the Newfoundlanders.
So that might be what I heard. Yeah, there was some club I did where they were like... You know,
the Newfies.
The jokes about this. I was like, I don't even know.
tell us some jokes about Newfies.
Yeah, we thought Canada was like all the same. We don't know. Yeah,
no,
we
it's very west to east. The prairie provinces make fun of the rest.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Canadians do annoy me the way they view Americans.
How is that?
Oh, really?
The way Canadians view Americans is very annoying.
How do they view?
Well, like a lot of the interactions, like they just think that
smarter.
That Canadians.
We think
are
of
smarter.
Americans as smarter and the leaders of the. No,
my take, and maybe no one would ever agree with this. We're not that different. And so, like, they want to, like, we're really not that different. And so, like, if you took an extraterrestrial from, like, some faraway star, and then you just, like, you kidnapped him and you made him stay the night with you at your house, and then in the middle of the night while he's asleep, you drove him to Canada, he wouldn't know the difference.
Yeah, but if you got injured there, he'd get fixed for free at the hospital. So that's where
he'd have a long wait time, and he'd have terrible taxes, and he'd have terrible treatment, and maybe die in the process.
But he'd still get it, maybe.
I bet if he broke your leg right now, someone to take care of it.
Yeah, but and I'd have to pay for it for the rest of my life.
Actually, I got a funny story about that. That's not true. So I broke my collarbone. A very funny story how it happened. And then so I go
where,
to the
in Canada
in Nashville, Tennessee.
Okay,
got in the wrestling ring. I was drunk. And I shouldn't even have been in there. You know, I just should have been in the audience. But I was drunk, and I was like, I'm getting.
Wait,
in
it
there.
Was just you were watching a wrestling.
We were watching wrestling. Okay, some indie wrestling.
Oh, like the ones that like.
Yeah, you know, yeah,
like
it's
a
like
big ass.
Choreographed, like yeah. Oh, but it was an indie one, yeah, small one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was white trash. It was like in a hotel. They couldn't jump off. They couldn't jump off the
yeah,
top
like
rope.
Yeah, like in the conference room. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like when the Hinchcliffe had it here at the Comedy Store.
Yeah,
it was very similar to that.
A lunge.
Yeah, there was like just a bunch of fans watching.
So you went into fight?
Yeah, we were like, let's go in there. Me and my drunk friend were like, on the last match, let's go in. We'll jump, bounce off the ropes. I'll put my arm out, or no, you put your arm out, and I'll take the clothesline. He said, okay. So we do that. I break my collarbone, separate my shoulder. I start puking. They kick us out. They're trying to get the cops there, and we just leave. But anyway, so I get I get this X-ray. They give me a sling. They put my shoulder back in. They do all this shit, and they go, "Do you have insurance?" I go, "No." This wasn't that long ago. So I go, "Yes, here's my ID. You know, just send me a bill." So I get home. The bill comes, and these numbers aren't exact, but it was like $15,000. I was like, "Fuck!" And then at the bottom, it said like $650. It was the what I gotta pay. And so I call and I say, "Hey, so is this like a payment thing or something? Like what was it says 650?" She goes, No, that's your total. And I go, it says like 15,000. She goes, no, that's what we charge insurance companies. That's not what we just charge a guy who needed to be seen.
Oh, really? Oh.
And I said, wait, so you'd think it would be the same? And she goes, well, no, like we can't charge you what we charge an insurance company. That'd be like, that's insane. And I was like,
what a weird argument.
Really weird. So all I had to pay was, I was being rewarded for not having insurance, if that's the way you want to look at it.
But is that in just Nashville, or is that
No, that's
all
America.
Over? I didn't know that either.
Yeah, they're not going to let people die.
I had no idea.
I mean, that's the whole problem with insurance, is that that's how it gets all inflated.
Right.
They keep passing the buck.
It's almost like the insurance companies are to blame, not the political parties that are putting these things into position. Yeah, yeah. Well, and that's why it's a fucking scam.
I
mean, that's the same thing with like all these other countries that pay so much of their money, and they go, "We're getting free healthcare." It's like, are you? Have you seen how much they're taking out of your check? Yeah. It's not free.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of whenever you go to the hospital, ask for the itemized receipt when you're done? Because oftentimes, if you don't, they will just, there's a bunch of hidden charges. But if you ask for the receipt, they'll do it correctly.
For a hospital or like,
Yeah, for sure.
My sister, when she broke her leg, it was $100 for a Band-Aid. She had like a little cut and they put the Band-Aid, but that was $100 on the itemized. Well, I mean, we couldn't argue it. She had to pay it. The insurance paid it. But
wow.
Tricky.
There's at the hospital in North London, there's a on the bottom floor when you're leaving, they'll give you your taxi fare.
I love that.
Well,
like, we don't want them driving. That's pretty great. Yeah.
Put it in the bill
great.
As well. So
I actually love that.
It's written off.
It's also trying to find a problem for billions of people and, you know, resolve it with like, well, it worked for these 100 people who live in this tiny country.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, we got a bunch of selfish idiots in this country.
It's
there's billions of selfish people that go, hey, I should be able to drink every night of my life, which I do. And then when I get, then I'm going to be surprised that my liver explodes. And they go, where's my free health care? It's like, well, you drank it all, stupid.
So speaking of that, like, because you travel a lot, obviously, through the U.S., but also I think internationally. Is there any places, like, any places that you go internationally, you know, that are favorite for you to perform, but also places that you go, like, oh, I wish they would do this here in the U.S., you know, like, that you go, like...
For comedy?
No, I mean, for...
For just life?
Just life, like a norm, like a food or, like, culture thing, like, that you'd be like, oh, man, it would be cool if they would do it here, you know, that you saw in another country.
A small one would be... coffee, right? So, like, I'm a big coffee guy, but I think I learned that from Seattle, who stole that from Europe.
Yeah.
But I do love coffee culture. I love the idea that you go in, you chat up your barista, you get the coffee, you sit down next to someone. You don't have to bother them or give them a
and
long
it's just
length.
Quick. It's just a quick. Little,
nice, hey, good morning.
I was in Italy and I was...
What are you reading there? You know, something.
That's so cool.
So
it's
coffee
beautiful.
Culture isn't like that? I don't know enough about
No, it's not. I mean, like, I was
it's not
in
a lot in America.
Because I was in Italy just this last summer and, like, that's... Yeah, I love that, too.
Yeah, I love
that. The fact is, like... First of all, I didn't have to drink any Red Bull or anything.
Sure.
Because I'm drinking just espressos the whole day.
Yeah.
And it's just, you can use to any little thing. You go in there, you go like, you chat to the barista a little bit.
It's very polite.
Here, blah, 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 and then you go. 5 minutes, you go. That's
right.
It. You drink it standing up, you know, you're like, and then, oh, it's great. Okay, boom, bye.
You're not.
If you want to stay, cool. But mostly it's just to kind of like a little shot to keep going.
Exactly. And it's like you're not bothering anybody, but also like you're just being polite. Like nobody looks at you like you're crazy for saying hi. They just go, "Hey, good morning."
Oh yeah.
Right. And it's very
that's the thing. You got to talk.
I'm neighborhoodly too. You
exactly.
know, so like a lot of people, you know, like in Seattle, like when I would go to the coffee shop in the morning, I would see some of my teachers. I would see, you know, not realistically, but theoretically, you see the mailman and you see the policeman and you see, like, that's kind of the idea of it. And then we do that at lunch and then we do it after school.
Exactly.
And then that would be your day.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I like that.
Yeah.
The other one is I feel like countries have more, they get along with each other better than here for sure.
Like, what do you mean?
They're more like
other
countries
or just the people inside the country?
Is this a reference to the political divide again or?
Oh, no. Just... I mean, I just like in general, I feel like they're more like, Germans are, you know, they're all Germans together, you know?
It's like, interesting that you mentioned that because...
There's like, we're Germans and then there's tourists. And then in America, it's like all jumbled together and trying to figure it out.
It's interesting you mentioned because the first time when I moved from Venezuela to the U.S., the biggest thing that was like so different is how everything here was so divided in terms of like, you weren't just American. You're like, you had to be like... African American or like Hispanic or like, you know, Asian or like everything's like a division. And it's kind of like, and I've, because yes, like even in Venezuela, it's like you're just Venezuelan, you know, like there's no like. Like
in Canada, we
could be from like New York or from like you know like that. Yeah, you do that, but it's not like you're Irish American in New York. It's like and also it's like to be. It's also I don't know why. Like if you were born here, just be American,
right?
Yeah. Like in Canada, we like to say that it's a mosaic of cultures. Whereas in America, you feel that melting potness.
Yes,
you feel like everybody's this different thing, and you're trying to fit into being American.
And it's also hard to figure out. It's very much like this. So it's like to take an interest in another group is also a little tricky. You know, even to ask those questions is some sort of like problem. And you're like, I'm just trying to figure. I don't know. They go, what are you doing over here? I don't know. I'm just sorry. Let's be friends. You know, so it's just I don't feel that in all the other countries I've ever been to because they don't have to deal with it.
Yeah.
They just go, we're Spanish.
Yeah.
This is Spain. Yeah, you want to dance with us or not? Yeah. You know, like what are you?
And you make fun of each other just because you're from that region or city, you know, like if you're like from in Spain, for example, Madrid or Barcelona, you know, they go like, they just make fun, or they, you know, this, they're suckers, you know, rivalry, right. But like, but they're still Spanish.
There's a good sports metaphor here that would might work, might be relevant, is that like, when if let's say you're rooting for the Los Angeles Dodgers,
right?
That's your favorite team, and my favorite team's the Seattle Mariners, and we're at a Dodger Stadium together, and I got my dumb little Mariners hat, and you got your Dodgers hat. I go, hey man, fuck you guys. You go, hey, fuck you too. You know, and we'd probably have a beer, and then your team hits a home run. I go, you push my hat. I'm like, you know, it's silly. But if you go to like a soccer match,
I know that.
Where it's you know, Colombia versus Brent, you can't be like, hey man, fuck Colombia. You're like, what'd you just say? It feels like that.
Well, in Argentina, it's like
more here.
Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. You can't be playful about these things. It's like a threat to something, you know?
Maybe that's the thing about other cultures, like in Europe, because their football matches are actually more violent.
I know.
That is true. Like, they take that more seriously, and then you can, but then you can make fun of each other, like ethnicities or whatever, or the way that you look, and that's fine.
Right.
But don't fucking mess
with the sport. It's different,
They have to have a separate section.
Right. Which had to be, that had to be learned. Don't you think that had to be learned? That aggression in sports?
Of course.
Yeah.
That their own parents are going, no, if you got to defend the team.
Of course.
You know, like someone's wearing the other jersey and they start talking
Well, it's
shit.
Like I know, like, I got a friend from Argentina that he said, like, he's like, they're two main in Buenos Aires, the most popular ones are Boca Juniors and River Plate soccer match.
Oh, okay.
And so he's from River Plate. He said he would sometimes go to the Boca Stadium, but he would wear the Boca uniform because if he would wear the River, he would get killed.
Oh, I see what you're saying. He'd wear, of course.
Because he'd be like, silently rooting for
They get a goal. He's like, yes.
That's
as much as he can.
Yeah, because you can't, because if not, you be, like literally you get killed or beat
I've seen those videos.
So it's like, it's a complete religion. You know?
They love soccer.
Religion.
Sometimes
they love,
you get caught
they're
out
like,
without
I
knowing.
Don't care.
Well, because no one's working in the town. You know, there's nowhere else to go. They're all watching the game.
True. Nobody's working too. Yes.
Yeah, so I just read a story that happened. It wasn't even like less than a decade ago, I think, about some ref gave a green card to a player, and the player attacked him, and so then the ref stabbed the player. He had like a knife on him. And then I'm not making this up. This was in 2008.
Wasn't it in Brazil or something?
Yeah, people came out of the stands, beheaded the referee with their own hands,
and then
put the head on a stake. And this is on our planet less than a decade ago.
Jesus.
Isn't that insane?
That's ridiculous. I remember hearing that about a goalie. Some goalie got beheaded.
Well, you're more outraged that it's a ref.
And then, I'm like, wow, they're
because I remember hearing about the goalie.
That's a tough day at work. I'm off to referee.
He did
well,
stab
a goalie let in a World Cup goal or something, I think. And
I don't know.
Got beheaded.
Yeah,
went back to his country.
I just read this story, even though it's very old. I just read it when I was in Detroit, and I was there with my friend and his wife. And as I'm telling them the gruesome details about the story, the way I just did to you, I'm talking in a regular voice, but it's a small little coffee shop.
So they're like,
so people are kind of like listening. And then I was like, maybe I shouldn't be telling this story. Like while I was telling the story,
yeah.
And also a white guy talking about like another country being barbaric is also kind of off-putting to some people. And the guy who's working the barista that's working goes, that happened to my grandfather.
Oh. Wow.
And so we talked to the guy for like 30 minutes wow. about how his
was
grandfather was murdered on a soccer field.
Where was it from?
Everybody
I don't know where the. I think that I want to say like Venezuela or something. Like,
really?
Yeah, I think so.
Wow.
But I always think Venezuela all the time, just because all my favorite baseball players tend to be in Venezuela.
Miggy Cabrera, baby.
I love Miggy and Yachty. There's a ton of good events.
Yeah, there's a lot of good ones. Yeah.
Anyway, that's kind of weird. Huh?
Geez, that story, I'm reading that story now. That's insane.
Did we say the year? 2008 or 2018 or something?
Was it in Brazil?
This one was from 2013.
Okay, so pretty current.
In Brazil?
Yeah.
It said that.
It was. It wasn't even like, it was like a minor league.
It wasn't like World Cup or anything. Yeah.
Or like their main league.
I mean, the referee had a knife.
Dude, it says he stabbed the player in the chest. They rushed the player to the hospital. He dies on the way to the hospital. Then the fans tie up the ref and stone him to death.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, that might be a different one.
His body
into
there
you go.
Pieces.
Yeah.
That might be a different one.
It could be a different one. That's how barbaric. I mean, it's insane.
Yeah. Well, that shows you, like, I always say, like, the humans have not really advanced, and technology has advanced way more than humans.
Yeah.
You know, because, like.
Well, maybe not. Look at what we complain about. We cry about, streaming
about
services and not getting Wi-Fi and being shadow banned on Twitter, microaggressions, and this guy's getting his head ripped off.
I think in terms of like,
that's a bad Wednesday.
off the referee of the game. Don't forget your knife, honey. Holy cow!
It's dangerous out there. Being the neutral cop of the game.
Yeah.
Well, we were talking about earlier about on the road, and I asked you guys how many people like stay inside, how many people.
Because it was like half and half that we get, like people that like stay in the hotels, you know, because they do it like, well, I'm here working, so I want to like get ready for the show, so I don't want to get. Like do a whole tour of like the city and then be tired to perform, you know. And other people go to food restaurants that are local or museums or you know. But so what do you?
My openers hate me because I make them do all the stuff. Yeah. You know.
Oh really? Do you have endless energy then?
Yes.
Like, are you
my social motor is ridiculous?
So you don't need like that alone time before a gig to like gather your thoughts and get wow.
And I have a theory about this though. Okay. I think that if maybe I had a girlfriend or a wife or kids or something, that then maybe I would crave more Jeff time. But I'm getting plenty of Jeff time. I live alone. I sleep alone. I travel
you do,
alone.
Like your writing, for example, like before, or you get ready for the show, like when you go on the road, like when, do you do it before you go to that?
I
city?
Let my opener sleep in till around noonish.
And then you oh,
and so
wow.
I'll go, but I'll go to
that's
like
not
a,
bad.
I'll go to a coffee shop and I'll just like write some jokes and do some stuff.
Okay.
If I haven't had a ton of alcohol and I sleep till noon.
I just like, can I just say, I like the way you worded that. I let them.
Yes.
I let them sleep until noonish.
Well,
but
I'm a very needy.
They've got some friendship responsibility.
Well, and it isn't a power move as much as a little kid making mom and dad, like, I'll give them till noon, you know?
But these are people that you're bringing or that they're there? Or both?
Yeah, a little both. Mostly that they're already there. Okay. Like, because I've made friends with all the I actually like.
Oh, okay.
Not bringing my own opener because then I get to meet new comedians in
town. Okay, okay.
And then I peer pressure them to hang out with me and show me cool stuff or they'll have cars there. They'll know of things.
That's true.
So
I should do that.
It's better. And then also there's never a debate about money. It always comes down to money. Every opener I've ever had.
Yeah.
They think I'm making $9 million a weekend.
Yeah,
and they're like, this is bullshit. It's like, I'm not. I'm rich because of television, not because of this.
Yeah.
This is just what I do for fun that I love doing and I make a little bit more than you bit. But what I was gonna say is I love to just figure out what the city has, whatever it is. And let's say the town is very average and doesn't have like a lot of unique things to it. Well, there's always gonna be some movies out that kills 2 hours. Mm-hmm. If you want to go to a movie theater, there's always gonna be a movie theater. There's always gonna be like a batting cage if the weather's good somewhere. There's always gonna be a bowling alley, which has alcohol, and bowling alleys are fun, you know, like those kind of stuff. So that's like the default if the town stinks. But most of the towns have all this great stuff in it.
Yeah.
Like even in Detroit, I was like, it sucks that they tore down Tiger Stadium. And they go, well, you know where it used to be? There is a baseball park. And I go, what? I go, they kept the exact dimensions. They kept the certain parts of the thing so it never really was
destroyed.
It was just kind of changed into this thing. So I got to go see old Tiger Stadium, and then there happened to be a barbershop coffee shop that was right next to it. And you just go find shit like that.
Nice. That's cool.
Yeah. That's
I like that. I never even. That's cool. That's. I always like to hear what people say and to see if I can add it to. And yeah, I'm gonna start doing that with like openers because like I just realized it's like it's like you know like why not? Hey, show me around. You know, like what you do, pick me up.
Right.
Because also they don't we don't have cars.
When also and if they're broke, I pay for it all.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
when
no,
I when I leave
the,
when
We're
I leave
go
they
eat.
Go. Yeah. Oh, that was fun. I got to hang out with Jeff all day till showtime. We did this, and we talk about. We get to know each other. Really well. Plus,
write jokes.
Write jokes. And then when you get on stage, you know
you
all this
know
local
shit. That's what I was gonna say. Yeah.
And so your take on it might also be really unique because they're like.
It's from the outside.
Yeah, they're going, I've never heard anyone make a joke about old Tiger Stadium. Yeah, or like, you know, like because we just see it as normal.
Yeah,
yeah. I went to Fenway Park, and I didn't realize that, like, they have the old ladders from the 1800s are still in the park. It's still legal.
Yep.
It's, like, 40 yards in the diamond, and I only learned that by touring Fenway Park during the day and then at the gig at night. I was like, what the fuck's up with you guys? You've got a ladder in the outfield.
How many people knew what you're talking
didn't
about?
Didn't play. Like, enough that it eventually gets around the audience and then they're just laughing along with it and so then they come
I love that I love stuff like that
and is it a thing that you do that just because you want to be like I want to gain you know use my time as much as possible while I'm here in this different city that I've never been here
or I want to see it all and I want to also like know what I'm talking about and also I don't want to feel like I missed a thing, you know, like when I come back, they're gonna go, oh, what'd you think about Boston? I go, oh, I just kind of stayed in the hotel and did some why I hate these theater tours. Like I was talking to D'Elia about
it. Night
Like D'Elia, he doesn't want to go out and do all that social stuff like I do. So like he'll do like a theater, right? And he'll like make crazy money, and then he gets back to his room, and then they just kind of they go to
the next
thing,
yeah.
And they didn't see anything. There was no like bars. There was no. I'm just like, I'm doing it mostly for all that kind of stuff. Like I like. The social part of this job.
I miss that a lot. I miss waking up in the city that you just performed in a bit sometimes. That is more fun and good because touring with Jim, it's all theaters and we're off to the next place. So we maybe have some drinks at night and talk to locals. But the next morning you're.
And
you
also
are
you're
off
getting there the same day and kind of performing the same day, which is also
I never
have
talked about this publicly, but I was supposed to open for Dane Cook for some shows.
Oh, wow. Right.
And I ultimately ended up turning it down just because the.
You were afraid of cracking out your original set?
It's me, guys. And they're like, what?
What is
this? He's doing him.
So you guys like being cuss vegetables.
Yo, I'm a youth group leader. he was very upset with me because I didn't end up doing the shows with him. But like, he here's how he explained how the gigs would go. He go, you know, you'll come to my place. We'll drive to this tiny airport where my private plane is. We will drive. We'll fly on the private plane to the gig. We will probably have like a dinner. I might not, you know. It sounds like he wasn't even going to eat dinner with me, but I'm not sure.
Yeah,
there was
might,
I didn't communicate it. I don't know.
Right.
And then he goes, then we'll get to the venue. You'll perform. I'll perform. Then we will leave back to the private plane. We'll be back in L.A. that night. And I remember thinking, so I don't get to sell merch. I don't get to meet any of the
fans,
the people after the show,
fans.
Which I love.
Yeah.
I love meeting them after the show. And like, one, selling merch, you get a nice little nut of money. But then also, like, you can meet cute girls or you can meet nice guys that like want to go party
or
and go
fans
just
that
go
you're
hang out.
Gonna come watch you later, you know? Yeah.
So I don't get to sell merch. I don't get to
talk to people
and hang out afterwards. And I don't get to see the town that we just flew to. And I was like, well, those are the things I really enjoy about being a comedian.
Not to
mention, I'm not the main guy and it's in a huge theater where I'm probably going to do 10 minutes and then they'll completely forget about me. So
exactly.
I was like, this just isn't worth it for me.
And that is when was this?
A couple of years ago, right before the pandemic.
Oh, okay.
And I remember just thinking, like, I love Dane and all that. And it's really generous for him to offer me. But like, I'm not the type of guy and I don't want to sound like a douche. And if Dane hears this, I feel bad, but being on a private plane doesn't do it for me. You know, I'm not going, oh, we're on a private plane. I don't care.
Right.
Like, I'm fine flying on a regular plane with you, Dane. Like, just, you know, talk to me. I don't know.
Yeah.
Can't imagine just getting on a plane and you're going to put on headphones and go to sleep or something.
Yeah,
I don't know. It doesn't really.
Do you go first class when you do fly?
I do now, but I've never paid for first class.
Right.
So it's all just so many miles are racked up that they just upgrade me every time.
Nice.
Yeah. Okay.
So I've never paid for first class. But
and how are you, like, do you, because we always have this debate. I like using all the things that I can use
you
to
like
make
using
the flight.
What?
I like
he loves status.
No, I like I like doing all the stuff that makes it the flight or the airport experience a little better. Either if it's TSA pre, the Admiral's Lounge, you know, like if I can get the upgrade, whatever, all that shit.
Well, everyone likes that. Just so you know,
no, he doesn't.
I mean,
you don't care enough to pay for it.
Yeah,
no, or bother with it.
Or often bother with it, and definitely not to pay for it.
Definitely not to pay for it.
He flies like a hobo.
Well,
like, hey, can I go? Can I ride in this plane?
Like 99% of the world is how he flies.
Yeah, I think I fly like a composed individual. Like tomorrow we're flying to Baltimore. I'm just going to go to the gate, sit down, chill.
Right.
I like going in first.
Relax, maybe have a coffee.
I like going in first.
2-year debate so far. We've been having this day.
Yeah, I like going in first. I like to get my situation, my
he wants to be called sir.
If
there was a boarding class was will the pieces of shit come on the plane?
Yeah.
Oh, that's me. Here we go. All right.
Let's get to the bottom of this a little. So
I don't care about first.
Do you like the Admiral's Club enough to pay like a monthly fee for it?
Well, I don't pay a month. I mean, I think I pay like a yearly thing.
Yeah. So you pay it.
Yeah, because to me, it's the same thing. Like if I'm going to get there, I'm going to spend money on the coffee, on the bullshit, on the food. I'm there. It's already there.
True.
It's included, and sometimes I like being there. I can get a drink and get beers for free, wine for free. You know, all this other shit. I can be there, and then it's easier for me to change a flight if something happens because you already have a little status, or they care more about you. So yeah, I love all that shit.
I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
Because we fly so much.
Yes.
It's like, you know, we need to. I mean, to me, it's like I like to make it as comfortable as possible.
It's like the perspective of when people look at LA traffic. If you live in Milwaukee, you know, you look at LA traffic, you look at these douchebags, Tesla, Mercedes, Lamborghini, like, look at these douchebags. And you're like, if I'm going to spend all day in my car in traffic, I want to enjoy my
Car. Yeah. Exactly.
So that's kind of your take on the flying.
Same thing with clothes. If I'm going to wear a lot of the same shit, I'm wearing the good stuff. I'm not going to buy some crap shit.
Yeah.
Because of LA traffic, like, I have an electric bike. That's my electric bike.
That was your resolution.
Because I don't spend any time in traffic. I just cut across the trap. They all sit at red light. Off I go. And I get here comfortably. And
no parking?
No, I don't have to worry about parking.
He sleeps on the sidewalk.
Yeah, so you just want the least
amount of
friction. You want the, just don't want to bother.
Like, you were mentioning these Admiral Clubs.
He sleeps
or
on
whatever,
the park.
And yes, I sleep in the park.
Benches.
I don't have to deal with a landlord. I'm like, you have to make my bed every day.
Yeah. But I mean, I could look at the trash and find some food.
Sometime of the year, there's leaves I can lay on.
I would literally, if the Admiral's Lounge is like, it's like 500 yards away. I wouldn't bother.
Oh, no,
like,
I walk the gate. Unless it's like another terminal, I'll walk.
It was in the last 2 years that I got bumped up to like the highest level of whatever.
What's your airline? Who do you use?
I mix it up, but I think it's
so you have status on all of them?
All of them.
Wow.
But I didn't pay for it. So like I had like a first class ticket and I was like, oh, I got first class. And I was like, I wonder if they charge me for that. And I called Justin, our manager. I said, hey, and he goes, oh, really nice. So I knew that actually, and he goes you know, you just get upgraded because you have so many miles at this point, like they're just
you're like a million miles.
And they sent me like this card that I can put on my bags that shows that I'm this certain status. So I was like, fuck,
you're George Clooney.
Yeah, I felt good, right? Yeah,
like
so I go into the Admiral's
That's
Club.
That's another movie reference, by the way.
Oh, it is? George Clooney's just an actor.
Up in the air.
So I go up to the lady and I go, I just would like to go in the Admiral's Club, like I'm this status now. She's like, they looked at me like I was crazy because I was already coming in a little like, you're supposed to come in confident.
Yeah, you gotta eat confident.
And so then she goes, I go, I don't know, I just got it. So you know, you got to kind of show me the ropes. And they're like, oh, okay. So they click in the thing and they go, oh, are you an Admiral's Club member? And I was like, I thought that's what this meant. And they go, no, but if you want to buy it, and I was like, I'm not gonna pay for it. I just must look like the cheapest guy in the world. I go, I'll take the thing. And they go, it costs money. And I go, no, thank you. I don't want to pay for the thing.
Good.
Yeah. And I just walked and got a muffin or something somewhere else.
I thought you were supposed to get like, for if you're first class, you get in those things.
No,
no,
that's not how it works.
Oh,
I tried.
Oh, actually, oh, wow. No.
So
you do. You get
class?
No. You get in the for American. You get in the flagship lounge, which is even better.
Oh, it is?
They get better food and better, like we get, like, the minimum shit. They get, like, the good food.
Well, I couldn't get anywhere with first class. There was no room
for...
Oh, no,
but, yeah, I think you still have to pay for the thing.
Oh,
but, like, if you're first class, you get into that other room,
interesting.
Which is better.
Yeah, it's all about these little extra
goodies. Also did it because of like the car, the credit card.
But I'm not even jealous when I'm in the departure lounge and I watch them get on first class. I just think, oh, you're going to be on the plane a lot longer.
Right.
That's my
Well, I do think.
Yeah, I'm drinking my scotch.
I do like getting on the plane first. When I'm in first, because it can get you, put your bag up,
exactly.
And then you kind of unwind.
Exactly. Walk past.
No.
That's really funny.
Do you do, what's your
I do
your
think,
look?
Though, this is why I also didn't pay for Admirals Club, and maybe I'll reconsider after you're telling me all this. I'm not that attached to it, but here's the thing. Yeah. I think, how can I sleep the longest, get to the airport the quickest, through, like, I want to cut it as close as possible so I'm spending the least amount of my life in the airport. Mm-hmm. So if I had Admiral's Club, I was like, well, I don't mind getting there an hour early because I can just chill in the Admiral's Club. But, like, I don't want to get there an hour early to chill in the Admiral's Club. So, like, I have a TSA PreCheck, Global Entry or whatever. And so I fly through security. Even when I'm only there like 30 minutes before the flight, I'm like, well, this is 25 extra minutes. So I think that's another reason I don't do Admiral's Club, is because I'm trying to cut it as close as possible.
But if you have all that status, then you're going to even go. There's a thing that you can go through the flagship lounge, which is like you even go faster.
Oh, really?
You know, at least for American. Like, you don't.
I'm going to look up this Admiral's Club. I'm gonna,
like, you don't have to go through, like, TSA pre. You go to a different one, and it's faster.
I do think I wish I was you. But I think I side with you. You know what I'm saying? Like, I always look at my buddies that aren't vain and they're just nice. Like, I wish I had that.
But it's not about being vain. It's about just making it comfortable. I mean, like,
there's a level of vanity to saying. I don't find it bad.
But sometimes when I get those lounges, I just don't.
Well, vain if I go like, fuck you, little low class people.
You feel that a little bit, don't you?
You do a little bit, buddy.
No, it depends on how you're.
You liar.
Like, I want to go, like, if you're sitting first class. And, you know, people are walking in because you already sit. Like, what's your look?
I smile at everyone.
Are you smiling
all the time,
at everybody, or you're like, ugh, I don't
well,
want
I'm
people.
Generally looking at my phone or whatever.
Which is like, that could people be like, look at this first class vain guy looking at his phone.
Well,
he's better than me.
That's they can think whatever the fuck they want.
Yeah, that's him.
This is a moment of truth. I smile at whoever I happen to look up at, and if a cute girl walks by, I pretty much stare. I don't know why. I've got a bad habit.
And you can do that in any class.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, but
you get away with it.
Wanted to see
class.
Me. Who's he in first class looking at me?
Yeah.
I will say that, though. There's nothing wrong with wanting to be in the front of planes and the back of cars. Yeah. And you want
To me, it makes it everything. And since we travel so much, just to make it easier. More
are there things in your life where you could give a shit less? Like what he's saying? Like, maybe, because your justification for this is that it's because you fly so much that you want it to be comfortable.
Yeah.
So are there things in your life where you're like, oh, I would never bother trying to get, like, a concert? Do you need to have the best of the concert?
Oh, yeah, I need to, like, at this point.
If we went to a Dodgers game, would you go, these are shit seats? We're in the 200 level.
Yeah, I need to be. No, I need to be. Well, it's because I seen the other side. It's kind of like I did. Well, you obviously know because you're, like, go to the Lakers and you get, like, because I did it. I went with Richard, obviously, you know Richard, and then from the Comedy Magic Club, he's got Clippers.
I had it with him for five seasons. Yeah,
so I went to those seats the first time, and I was like, oh wow,
great.
And then Cristela Alonso, she had also had like, and then she invited me.
I used to know her. She used to be a really nice person.
She invited me to also the seats, and I was like, wow, this is great. So now I'm like, I can't go. I mean, I could go back to like a little like the 100 section, but I'm not going back to the rafters.
I kind of agree. I'm like, I hate to agree again. Yeah, but it's true.
I'm sorry.
Here's the thing.
I'm not. I could have spent a lot of money on one game.
Once you taste of it.
Yes.
Yeah, because like at the Lakers game, I'm friends with one of the referees, Scott Twardowski, one of my favorite people.
And you're also friends with like the owner.
I know. Yeah. But the thing is, I'm used to sitting with the owner, and we have this little area that's the VIP of the VIP of the VIP called the patio. Like it's better than the chairman's lounge. It's the best of the best, and it's just great. And
you
have a great Laker experience.
Lunch, right.
And then one game, my friend who's a referee, who's also my teacher in high school, is now just a full-time
NBA. Who's the referee?
His name's Scott Twardowski, but he was my teacher in high school.
Okay.
And like he chased his dreams of being an NBA ref, and now he's one of the best guys.
Oh, that's cool.
And we're good friends. So he's like, hey, you want to come to the Laker game? And I was like, well, I was already going. He goes,
so
well,
wait, ref gets tickets?
Oh, yeah. Cool. They get treated really well.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
And so he was
don't even have to carry a knife.
Right, NBA. They don't behead people. So he goes, well, do you want my tickets? I don't know anybody in LA. Like, just come to the guy. So I said, for sure. And his tickets weren't bad, but my ego got involved where I was like,
no.
Like 20 rows up. Yeah, you know? Yeah. And I kept going back down, and G, like, just sit here. And I ended up not even really sitting in the seats he gave me, because it is just, you want the best.
Yeah.
Guys, the party was in the belly of the Titanic, not on the top.
Yeah, you know, I mean.
Yeah, but who survived?
Right. There's no assigned.
That boat, baby.
There's no assigned seating to parties. Yeah. We're talking about something that has some
status. That's different, yeah.
No, the airplane isn't a party.
Hey, well, where do you stand on, like, when Dodger Stadium, I don't think they have it anymore, but in that right field was the all-you-can-eat section. Remember?
Yeah.
Would you go for that?
Fatties only,
that,
dude.
Or is that not
No, I mean, I like to walk around, but I want the good seats.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think for me, it's just like, once you get that taste, it's kind of like, it's hard to be like, oh, fuck, now I gotta, especially, I don't care, I don't need to be like really close, but like, I gotta see that. I just can't be in the fucking, like, all the way up there.
I love baseball enough that I am really not picky.
Well, that's what I was going to say, too. Like, I value a great seat on the first baseline, and I value it behind the seats.
Well,
but
you think
if I'm up in the, like, my brother-in-law, he was a Boston Red Sox fan. He came for the World Series a few years ago. And, you know, we got tickets at the last minute because he just came spontaneously
all the
way
World
from Nova
Series,
Scotia.
Yeah.
And it was the World Series. And we were up in the nosebleeds. But who gives a shit at that point? So I'm not going to be like, oh, this is.
Right. Well, for baseball, I'm that way. Like, you could give me the worst tickets in the world. We probably won't go to them anyways. I'm just going to stand in the beer garden with you. We're going to laugh and walk
around.
Well,
that's different. Baseball's different. Yeah. I think baseball, you're like, I don't mind going a little farther back because it's like, you know, it's more of like you're talking, you can talk. You know, it's not you have to be so concentrated. I think with basketball, you know,
basketball, you don't want terrible seats.
Yeah.
There's more action in basketball. Baseball, and also, you're like, it's 4 hours. We can get hammered. It doesn't matter where we are.
Yeah,
basketball, you're like, I want to watch.
You can't go walk around a basketball stadium.
No.
Yeah, exactly.
It's so small, and you can't really see the action from where you're walking around.
Exactly.
You're just watching on a flat screen with nobody.
Exactly.
And also in football,
I've never been to a football
game. I'm such a punk about that because the weather, you know? So, like, I'm always wanting to be in the suites. So I usually watch from the suites, but that's a weather thing.
But even the suites are at a distance,
like, it's
right?
too cold?
Like at Crypto and stuff, suites are
It's at the top of the 100 level.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is pretty far. Yeah. But here's the thing. You have a flat screen, or you have all these monitors.
You
can see replay
and
stuff.
Drinks.
And it's close enough because football, you can see from, like, it's almost like the video game view.
Yeah,
is how you describe a suite for football. But the thing about football is when I say weather, it's like it's terrible in Seattle. There's no like cover. They don't cover it.
Oh, really?
So you're just all wet and shit with all these people. And then most states during that time of year, it's cold.
Yeah, that's true.
For football. And then the there's certain parts, like I went to like the Carolina Panthers game. We were so hot. And all these gross football fans kept taking their shirts off and stuff. It's like there's no enjoyable weather for football.
Yeah,
it's very rare.
Let's see. You see? So,
I kind of see, but I'm still, I have a good time wherever I am. I'm, you know,
you're easy.
Well, that's different.
I'm an
all that's two different
opportunity
all
right. Enthusiast for entertainment.
Well, most people would say, Jeff, do you want to come with me to the LA Kings game tomorrow? And I'd go, let me see if I can make it work. Where are we sitting?
And
then I will literally consider my company and then consider the ticket and then go, no thanks or thank you.
I mean, I do consider that as well because I went to the Kings game last week with Ian Bagg.
Oh, nice.
It was like game four. It was really intense and really great seats.
Of course.
Who got the seats? Him?
Ian Bagg's got great.
He's got great hockey.
He's got great hockey.
They were actually similar to where those Clippers tickets are.
Oh, nice.
So those were great seats. And I would have gone to the nosebleeds if I had
Because Ian's
to.
Great.
And,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And also great company and everything. But I would consider it as well if that's your only option is the nosebleeds, especially for hockey.
Well, one time I went with a group of guys who I actually really love. They're like some of my closest friends, but the seats were just terrible.
Yeah.
And I was like, we didn't need to do this. All four of us just could have went to a bar.
Yeah.
This is so bad. Like, and also my idiot friend is so cheap that he's like, oh, just everyone Venmo me like $100. It's like, you told us you got tickets. Selfish prick.
The only time that I went up in the nosebleeds is when I, in D.C., when to watch Jordan play. You know?
Nice.
I was like, fuck it. I mean, it's like when he was playing with the Wizards, I was like, well, it's my only time I'm going to watch Jordan.
Yeah, you want to watch him drop 9.
Yeah. But they were good.
Isn't it funny that the, like, just anything that's like upper bowl is called nosebleeds.
Yeah.
So like the nosebleed. They're so high up there. Yeah. Getting nosebleeds.
Oh, I thought it's because people are getting beaten up.
No,
it's because you get the
they can't see.
No, yeah, I thought it was just people are just fucking
because it's like they're like, look at those people in black eye seats. That's hilarious. Maybe that's always psychologically deterred you from wanting to go up there.
Yeah, you're afraid of getting in a fight. Yeah.
No. I don't want to watch.
I know we got to go, but do you guys watch, ever watch fan fights on YouTube?
No.
I sometimes in Twitter they come
Sports fan fights on YouTube. I just on Friday I must have watched 3 hours, and I was like, oh, I've seen this one, but I'll watch it again. There's something. It's a terrible thing to root for, but like I'm so fascinated by it.
Oh really? I've been watching hockey. I watch hockey fights.
Fan fights or hockey player fights?
Actually, hockey player fights. Like, I let that roll sometimes. Yeah. Very entertaining.
Yeah. I like it during a game, but I wouldn't watch it on YouTube.
Quick question before you leave. I mean, like, are you like a huge fan of something that you? Because I wouldn't. I love sports, but I don't think I would ever get in a fight because of my team.
Right.
Like I wouldn't be like, nah.
I can't think of anything I get into a fight about at all.
Yeah. If it's ever. Like fucking like you know family or something.
Even
know,
then.
Somebody pushes your mom.
Well, she like I don't know if they push my mom. Now they're starting to fight with my mom. I think. Yeah. They started the violence.
Yeah. I'd say that's probably the case for all three of us in that we're comics, so we're smart ass. We're probably smart asses before we throw fists. We all probably antagonize people. Sure.
My thing is like, yeah, like getting a fight in a just to watch you watching like a basketball game, and you get in a fight or a baseball game. Yeah. Like why?
I get it though. You can actually see it happen when you watch enough fan fights like on YouTube. It is like a mob mentality.
Yeah.
People that have no business even in the fight, like you're already wearing like the jersey.
Yeah, because,
you kind of decided who you agree with, you know. It always gets a little blurry when it's like an Eagles fan fighting an Eagles fan, you know, like that's always a little weird because they're going, what happened? I want to hear who started what.
Yeah.
But it's usually always some dummy that's trying to troll the group, and the group's like, fuck this guy.
Got
when it goes down, we're all gonna get some licks in. Yeah. Like it's a
Got it. Yeah, no, that makes sense. It's
we're also
like
watching
that.
Fan fights.
I'll send you some good ones.
Yeah.
The best one is a San Diego Padres fan is getting yelled at by some Rockies fan. And I think that it was, I don't know if it's in San Diego or if it's in Colorado, but this guy goes, he's like, you shut the, you know, F up, blah, blah. And this guy, this kid just walks over and he just walks right down the row and he just punches him in the face. And the guy goes, like he one punch.
Wow.
It was such a beautiful and like perfect like cartoon punch and cartoon knockout that everyone just went for the guy. Like we have to beat this guy. Yeah, the one who punched.
Oh wow!
Because just you can't let that happen.
Wow!
It's
a great moment when strangers all collectively have the same response to something.
Yeah,
we got him. Don't worry about it. We'll avenge you.
I wish the Padres would have made a bobblehead of that guy. And it's just him punching, and the Rockies head is the one that bobbles. You know, that's the one that that'd be amazing.
Buddy, you've been a brilliant guest. We always have a final question we like to ask our guests on the way out the door, which is, do you have a favorite piece of travel advice that you like to hand off to people? You know, and it can be anything. Something it can be something that you've been told yourself before, or it can just be a warning that you like to throw out to people.
Hmm.
Like Rhys Darby saying that he loves to learn a bit of the language. Dan Bacadal, when he was on, said you can always buy whatever you forget. So just relax.
Oh, that's
buy,
a good tip.
Yeah.
My brain went right to like packing.
Okay. Right.
It's put your socks in your shoes. Right. You don't want your shoes to lose shape. That's where you put all your socks. You know, that keeps your shoe.
Oh.
Yeah. You're going to have to pack those socks anyways. You stuff them into the shoe so it doesn't squash the shoe. Also, I wear one pair of jeans the whole time.
Yeah.
You don't need more.
But my thinking goes, like, even because I'm going to go to, you know, Oakland this weekend, I'm going I should just wear one. It's just 2 days. And I'm like, but what happened if somebody spills something in my jeans and now I'm like, I don't
You'll wash it off.
Wash them at night.
But yeah.
Or put some water on it. Also doesn't happen that often. Plus, that's the...
I was going for that.
Well, that's like in the old days, like cowboy times, I always like read about like, they never washed their outer clothes. Those flannels, those jeans, never washed.
Wow.
That was the point of underwear. Is that like they were like, oh, we wash our underwear. We're not animals.
Yeah.
But then you go, do you wash your shirt? They're like, no, what?
God,
why would I wash my
even
shirt?
Them, they would take a bath every, 2 months?
Yeah.
3 months?
Well, they stink. Like...
But the underwear is what you should be washing all the time and packing a bunch. But like outerwear doesn't need to be washed as aggressively as the West. No,
underwear and socks daily.
Yeah.
Pack those for each day. But
everything else you can wear. Yeah, exactly. I'm trying to think of a good travel one, though, but just let me rag my brain before we say goodbye.
I mean, that is great.
By the way, I couldn't live in the back days when everybody just stank. I couldn't.
You'd get used to it.
Cigarette smoke.
Yeah.
And...
I don't. Yeah, I mean, I guess. Yeah,
because if you took a time machine, you couldn't.
No, yeah. If I exactly. If I go right now, I'd be like, I can't live. Yeah. In the Middle Ages.
How do you people come with this?
Haven't you heard of Axe body spray?
And then where's the admiral's lounge?
And then they're like, whoop.
Where's the admiral's lounge?
They behead me. They're like, this guy's.
They'd have
to. This guy's a witch.
We weren't mad at him until he told us we all stunk. It wasn't a racial thing. He just was kind of rude.
Yeah.
Sit right to my wife's face. I don't know, but that's the only two I got. I'll probably think of one later and text you guys.
Yeah, that's really
good. You'll go, it's too late.
If you do end up with a stain on your jeans and you can't wash it out at night, just pretend it happened the next day.
Yeah.
It just happened 20 minutes ago. Nobody will second guess you.
It is the worst when you spill something on your shirt right before you have to go on stage.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's the worst. Yeah, but there's no avoiding that. I've had that happen a billion times.
Yeah.
Then you get to address it.
You have to address
it. Sometimes you can make it funny. This just happened.
Yeah. Actually, sometimes that works so well. You go, I wonder if they did that on purpose. Because it's the immediate humbling.
Well, there's probably one comic that does that now every time.
Oh, I'm an idiot.
Hey, it's like, are you just doing this?
Comics
do that. I
got to
wear this shirt, this dirty shirt, because I can make a joke out of it.
Yeah. My opening line.
No, a lot of that is a hacky thing. I've seen comics, they'll have like a bad haircut, and they'll be like, I'm not going to try to justify this haircut. You're like, you got the haircut. You're walking around with a dumb haircut just so you can have one line in your act, you moron.
Yeah.
Or the shirt they chose. I know the shirt makes me look. It's like, well, you wore the shirt.
Just get cold.
Yeah.
Well, man, thanks very much for coming.
Thanks for
by the way, where people can find you, and also if you anything that you that's
yeah,
coming
when does
out.
When does this come up?
About 2 weeks.
Yeah, 2 weeks. Yeah.
2 weeks. Okay, so I'll be in Dallas. I got a bunch of stuff, but if you go to jeffdye.com, you'll be able to find all those. I'm trying to think. Oh, Arizona, I'm going back to Phoenix, CB Live. Bunch of stand-up dates coming up, so please go to that. And all my social medias are at Jeff Dye.
And you have also a podcast, too.
JeffDye. Yeah, and I have a podcast called Jeff Dye's Friendship Podcast. I'd love to have you guys on, for sure. And then also, I'm starting a wrestling podcast on iHeartRadio with Freddie Prinze Jr.
Oh, nice.
It's called Wrestling with Friends. We just talk all things AEW, WWE.
Is that a wrestling, big wrestling fan?
We love wrestling. And we spend
I know you do, but I didn't know
Yeah, Freddie worked for Vince McMahon for a long time.
Oh, really?
He's actually going to start his own wrestling federation in a few years.
Oh, wow.
Maybe he said like a year, but I know these things take a long time.
Like a WWE kind of
same.
Thing?
Maybe not that like level of budget,
like a minor,
but it's going to be...
Like
yeah.
the XFL?
Probably lower than that even. I don't know what his budget is for it, but I know that like there's a lot of wrestling, independent wrestling federations and stuff.
Okay.
So he's going to do one of those.
That's cool. Awesome.
Yeah, I haven't been to Lucha Libre or whatever.
Let's go.
Yeah, I really want to. I'd love to go.
Wrestling's the... It is the... It's
I went with
art.
You
too. Yeah, it's very
have
fun.
Have you seen
we
a dude?
SummerSlam or something.
Yeah.
We
went to like awesome. SmackDown, I think.
Absolutely awesome.
Yeah.
Somebody has been to me like, wrestling is like the soap opera or telenovelas of men in the U.S.
It's theater.
Because
right?
you know that it's not the main body.
Yeah, it's
but,
predetermined.
But
it's choreographed.
I mean, they're athletes.
It's costume. It's music. It's athleticism.
Yeah,
it's sport.
A character.
Acting. Yeah. Well, the thing that I like about it, the thing I always argue is like, it is an art form. It's just not a very like sophisticated art form.
Right.
So people go, oh, that's yeah, but it is. They are telling a story here,
of course.
And there is like a really hard thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just. It's like you know. It's very. It's not very intellectual, you know, but it's fun and it's silly.
And yeah, but it's a lot of work to it, a lot of.
And
thing,
it's also
yeah.
a case where the audience makes the fun. As
yeah.
Well,
if you're in on the joke, yeah, I like that you get that you
exactly.
That,
if you're in on the joke,
like I'll have people come to I have wrestling parties every month for the pay per views,
mm-hmm.
and the only rule there used to be a rule was you had to dress up like a wrestler. That used to be the rule, and then the new rule has just changed over the years. It's evolved that. You just don't get to make fun of the wrestling. That's the only rule.
Well, also, why would you?
We know. We get the joke. Yeah. There's always someone brings a girlfriend who's like, you guys actually like this stuff? And you're like, why is she here?
Yeah.
Someone kill her.
Yeah.
You know, or someone's like, his fist was like this far from his face. You're like, yeah they're friends.
Yeah.
This is a show,
it's
dummy.
Like watching the Avengers and be like, well, that's not real.
Right.
It's like, yeah, we know.
Right.
It's fucking
none of
movie.
It's real.
Yeah.
Friends isn't real, stupid.
Yeah. Rachel.
Yeah. They're not really together.
They're on a break. Nah. But that's cool. I like that. That's cool.
Yeah, very cool.
Cool. Well, thank you for coming. We really appreciate it.
I'm not going to let you get off the hook with the they were on a break line. He referenced the show. Showed his love for Friends right there.
Well, my girlfriend watches it a lot.
But that's in the storyline.
It isn't. I know all of it because of, I watch. And I feel they were on a break.
That's why you need these lounges. You need time away.
yeah, that's what's going on.
You don't let her get in the lounge, do you? Yeah. It's only me, honey. You're in coach.
Yeah, he goes, my opener, who's also my wife.
If we travel together, I can bring somebody. That's another thing, too.
Oh, nice.
You can bring, if you're traveling with somebody, they can come with you.
I got to find you at these airports.
Yeah. All right.
Thanks, buddy.
Thank you.
Jeff Dye.
Thanks for having me. Love you guys.
Hello.